Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Umbrella Hour. This is your host, Xander Keg. I'm flying solo today. Dr. On will be back next time. We, from time to time, have guests who come back on the show because something new has happened and we want to talk to them about it. And so our guest today is a return guest. This is Dr. Kim McCoy. Dr. McCoy is back to discuss his compassionate body-based approach to cutting down on alcohol, which is presented in his new book, Booze to Balance, 30-Day Liver Detox Challenge. Welcome back to the Umbrella Hour, Dr. McCoy.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Absolutely. Well, and congratulations on publishing another book.
Thank you. This one was pretty exciting. It was a little book that I had self-published mainly for to use inside of my practice. But then this year, I connected with Brenda Knight, who just started a new publishing house called Books That Save Lives. And she picked up this book and they're republishing it and it's going to have a wider reach. So I'm really excited about that.
That's very cool. So I have worked in addiction treatment, but I'm not familiar with this idea of a compassionate body-based approach to either cutting down on or eliminating alcohol consumption completely. So can you tell us a little bit about where did the idea come from for this book? And is it about abstinence or is it about moderation? What's it about?
This book is more about moderation, but there are a lot of tools that can really help people who are aiming for abstinence. And the way it came about was an unexpected thing, which a lot of people might wonder about in the first place, because my background is mainly as like a mind-body chiropractor. So the way it came about was my practice, I would be taking care of a lot of people with a lot of chronic neck or shoulder. And then as we dig down into where is the pain coming from, a lot of times that pain is really a referred pain from stress around the liver and gallbladder areas. So as we start looking at that and start digging in, it'll be like, oh, you know, there's too much sugar happening. There's too much alcohol happening. And we start cleaning up those areas of life. And then that would support the healing of the shoulder, neck, jaw, like all of that stuff. So over time, I noticed these patterns. And then eventually I put together a little program for my patients focused on balancing the liver and gallbladder area with the intent of improving their musculoskeletal health. But then I started hearing over and over from people after doing this liver gallbladder helping things, they would say, oh, I've been drinking a lot less, or I notice I don't want to drink as much. And it would keep coming up as something that surprised people because we were never really looking at that in the first place, but it was this side benefit. And I started to realize this is an approach that people who are trying to cut back or trying to stop drinking have probably never looked at, because you always start first with the problem. Like here's the problem. How do I stop it? Versus let me just take care of this part of my body and then see what happens as a result. It's sneaking in through the back door or something.
Well, you know, I've often thought about how alcohol has a lot of sugar in it, right? Mm-hmm. And so if a person is either addicted to or somewhat dependent on how people talk about it, the sugars, it's going to drive the increase consumption of things that either are sugary or convert into sugars. And it can be so subconscious. Right. So people might think, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to alcohol, when it's possible that they're addicted to sugar. And alcohol is the vehicle for the sugar consumption. I would imagine that's very controversial to say. Have you found that there's been any controversy surrounding this idea that you have and this work that you've done? If there have been patients you've worked with who are just reluctant, it seems very counter to the narrative.
Yes, it is very tricky because especially when people are trying to cut down on something like alcohol, a lot of times they'll be like, if I can't have that, come on, what do I get? So it's this precious little thing that is framed as, well, this is my treat. Can I have this one vice? it is tricky. And that is part of the beauty of the approach in the book, is that there's very little talk about diet modification and those heavy things that are tied with the emotion. Because one thing, when it comes to cutting back or cleaning up the liver, people get stressed about having to take more pile of supplements or a radical diet. Everything is centered around that. And it's so stressful. It's not sustainable. You can hold it together for a month, but then you're going to slide back to old eating. So for this book, I thought, okay, what are all the different things I can think of that would support the liver that don't involve a radical shift in diet? What are a whole bunch of little things that can move the needle in a certain way? None of these single little things would be that overwhelming. But then when you take them as a whole, they have a big impact. And then as your body is feeling better, that feedback loop kicks in where feeling better is feeling better. So it doesn't crave so much the other things that gave a short hit, but then a long-term negative effect. So it's a gentle way of moving where people don't notice. It doesn't feel hard work in the way that, okay, we're going to stop eating the sugar starting today, or we're going to stop all the drinking today.
Okay, so we don't want to give away everything in the book, because obviously yeah. You know, we want people to go and buy the book. And right. it's going to be out on pre-order right around maybe the second or third week of June. So yes. For people who are listening yep. now, it's already out yep. and available. I'm wondering, is sleep one of the factors? I'm always pushing sleep. Sleep, sleep, yeah. sleep. That's the thing to focus yes. on, right? As a mental health yes. provider, if we can get sleep under control, we can get a lot of other things under control. So is it a similar with you?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So sleep would definitely be one of those things. Drinking a bunch of water is definitely one of those things. So all different things that specifically would be supportive for that area of the body.
Very cool. And so it was something that you were doing. So this 30-day liver detox challenge mm-hmm. was something that you were doing within your practice. The book is being published so that it'll be readily available to people outside of your practice.
Yes.
But do you have any ambitions toward going around and doing lectures on the 30-day liver detox challenge? Do you have ideas about that?
I'd be open to it. I wouldn't say that I have ambitions as such, but I would like to get the word out, because I feel like, especially, you know, these days where healthcare is so inaccessible, people really struggle. And, you know, as you know, as an addiction professional, relapse is a thing. And people spend a lot of money and time and going into programs and this and that. And what happens when they slide? To have a whole toolbox full of tools, things you can implement, some of these simple things, no matter where you are or what's going on, is very empowering. And none of the steps in the book cost anything. So they're accessible. So
it's wonderful. Know. In addition to your more anecdotal experience, because mm-hmm. we're talking about your patients, have you yep. come across any randomized controlled or other types of studies where they have, this wasn't the goal necessarily, but they mm-hmm. found something similar and they written it up? Have you found that this is something that other people have discovered?
I haven't really looked for the studies. My patients, you know, aside from just like, oh, I haven't been drinking as much, or, you know, I don't want to drink as much, a lot of them, their blood work markers are moving where they, again, like weren't necessarily aiming for that, but they'll circle around and, oh, you know, I just got my blood work and my cholesterol is a lot better than it was, or I just did my blood work and my enzymes are better, or my kidney function is better. It wasn't something they thought we would be addressing, but they're like, wow, I did this thing and my numbers are better. So with that in mind, there could be a study, you know, just gathering data, setting it up, but I've definitely seen actual numbers like that shifting too.
That's really remarkable. Before we started recording the conversation, we were talking about there's different paths that people take when they are dealing with an addiction, once they're conscious of it, right? And I don't know necessarily that all the people that you put on the 30-day liver detox challenge or recommended it to them, that they were addicted, right? That they would mm-hmm. consider themselves yeah. an alcoholic. But we were yeah. talking about how there's so many different paths that are available for people, the fully abstinent path, like an Alcoholics Anonymous, or the moderation path, like Rational Recovery or Smart Recovery. There's some different names. I worked at a medication-assisted treatment clinic for a while, and we prescribed medications for people who had alcohol addiction or refer to themselves as an alcoholic or just substance use disorder with their alcohol and opiates. And so it was two different medications. But I thought it was really interesting because there was a medication in the form of an intramuscular injection that was given once a month to the patients who had problems with drinking, right? Had troubled drinking. They talked about it in different ways. And what this injection did was it gave them the opportunity to have a social drink, but they never became intoxicated. And then over time, they lost the desire to even drink, because why spend all that money when you could just get a club soda or a Perrier or a cranberry juice, right? Why spend the money that it costs to buy an alcoholic beverage, especially when you're out and about? And I was telling you that there was another book that came out recently. I don't remember the name of it. It's something like Drinking Yourself Sober, right? And it's this medication, right? But not everybody wants to do a medication. I mean, one of the things about the liver is that when we take a medication, especially an oral medication, it goes through the liver, right? It gets processed. Right. And the liver is like the cleansing mechanism for our body. And so doing a medication, although intramuscular might not have as much interaction with the liver as a oral medication, but I would imagine that you wouldn't want to necessarily put more taxing on the liver when you're doing a liver detox challenge. A medication might do that.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's oral versions of this medication that people used to get. I'm curious what you think about people trying to clean up the liver, detox the liver, but then maybe they're on medications which have an ill effect on the liver, but they can't stop taking those medications. Maybe for mental illness or for some chronic health issue. So how does it work when somebody's on a medication that does have a known contraindication with the liver, but they're going through liver detox? Are there any issues with that?
Yeah, this is a really gentle detox. So it's not like some of those harsh ones where you're throwing up or whatever. So it's super gentle. And I think this gives a lot of different tools where people are able to get to know their body and then turn the dial and calibrate which ones might be more helpful. If they're on a medication that they need, but it's hard on the liver, they might really like become conscious about the importance of really upping their daily serving of daily a bitter leafy green, Swiss chard, beet green, that really bitter green, and just be like, okay, well, I need this medication, so I need to up my game in this area to help balance that out. Or if it comes to a favorite dessert or a chocolate or something, like springing for the really expensive one that you can only afford four pieces at a time, you know, as opposed to getting like a box of the cheap stuff and binging on that. You can really enjoy something you love, shift that burden on the body where it's less of a burden on the body, but you can up the enjoyment of it by getting such a better quality. So finding ways to still satisfy that part of your brain that craves excitement and joy. But how can we do it to where it's not so taxing on the body?
When you talk to patients, and then in the book, is there a certain recommendation? Maybe once a year you should do this 30-day detox. Are there elements of the 30-day liver detox challenge that people could just start incorporating into their everyday?
So of course.
Maintaining that detox state?
Yeah, I think pretty much everything that's recommended you can do anytime. Yeah, there's really nothing in there that's really a one-off thing. I think the benefit of doing it in that 30-day format is it's a concentrated, quick reminder, build some momentum. A lot of people will do it in the beginning of the year because you have that holiday hangover feeling and just like, oh, I need a reset. So then just every day. And since it's the idea is I'm introducing one concept a day, it's not overwhelming. So a lot of times you already know some of these things you should be doing, but you forgot. You're like, I should chew my food slowly, you know, I should attitude of gratitude. Right. I remember learning about that. I haven't been doing that. So just like gently brings these specific practices back up onto the radar in a way where you can handle it, implement it, and then go about your life. It doesn't create a new crisis or lay on the guilt and shame.
Right. Well, because there is a lot of that within your standard drug and alcohol or just substance abuse treatment. You have to have willpower and you have to want it and relapse and how people feel so terrible and failed. There are going to be people who they really are struggling with, I mean, chronic issues of addiction. And it might not be so easy for them to just do a 30-day liver detox challenge.
Right.
But it sounds like this would be a really good program for somebody when they're coming out of a 28-day treatment or when they're, or this might even be something that would be good to implement in treatment programs. Get people on a liver detox regimen while they're in residential drug and alcohol treatment. Because I imagine it's not just for booze, right? It's not just alcohol. Oh, yeah. It would be anything.
Right. Yeah, it's really, exactly. It's really anything that's taxing on the liver. So yeah, it's booze, it's sugar. I mean, those are the big things. And actually, you know, these days with you already know, but non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is rising crazy. And that is usually from sugar and bread, because a lot of times people will be like, oh my God, I have fatty liver. I don't even drink. How did that happen? And it's this, the sugar and the bread, and it's just not, and that's not on anybody's radar as being problematic or a drug or whatever, but it does lead to these problems. So
I think there's just not a lot of information about if sugar is not on the label, that people don't necessarily know that foods are converted into sugars, right? That's not something that's part of the everyday lesson that we learn in high school necessarily.
Right.
And so because of that, people are unfamiliar with why they shouldn't eat white bread or white rice, or they're not understanding those things. You know, the liver is just, I think, a mystery to most people.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm wondering, so you mentioned with your patients that they talked about having a reduction in the urge to drink.
Yeah.
They talked about also experiencing positive changes in their labs, right? From their blood work and perhaps urine as well. What are some of the other things that you have heard from your patients who have done the 30-day liver detox challenge? What has happened as a result? What are some of the things that even you were like, oh, that's interesting, right? That might have been surprising or unexpected.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lose weight, of course, with any kind of detox. There's usually about, I would say a lot of people don't even notice that they're carrying typically about like 10 pounds or so of what I would call just like kind of toxic water weight. You just cut certain bad habits and you lose about 10 pounds over this 30 days or so. If people haven't experienced that before, they're surprised. They're like, oh, I didn't know. What? You know, I thought that was fat. It must have not been fat because it came off so fast. People, they sleep better. I think people are surprised how much better their mood gets, because when the liver is taxed in Chinese medicine and, you know, even in Western medicine, that'll cause this heavy, depressed, frustrated, cranky feeling. And a lot of times when that lifts, people will just be surprised because they'll think, well, I thought I was depressed because the world sucks. And then they'll be like, oh, my lens was off. I didn't know that was coming from me. I thought it was coming from out there.
Yeah.
So
that makes perfect sense to me, because we're in June of 2025 in the United States, and I'm constantly having people contact me to make sure I'm safe and I'm doing okay. Yeah. And I'm what's happened? What's going on?
Right.
And they're like, everything, it's terrible. And I'm like, it is because that's not my lens. Right. I come more from the place of this too shall pass, and I've experienced worse, and we know how to handle these things. But that's because I have that capacity. I talk to people about sleep, right? And the circadian rhythm. And if that is dysregulated, every system in your body gets dysregulated, including your mood. Right.
Yes.
And so it doesn't mean that things aren't happening that I don't like. It's just that they're not impacting me in the way that they're impacting others, because it just doesn't. I have some sort of wall around me, so to speak. I've got this that says, I don't like it. And so I'm going to do something about it, but I'm not going to let it destroy me, my well-being.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like it's a similar thing for that. All of a sudden people are, they're getting a better night's sleep and their liver is functioning better. I would imagine there's social aspects to this, because oftentimes if you're a recreational drinker or even a person who is over drinking, the people they're hanging around with tend to mirror that behavior.
Right.
And so when you're not doing it anymore, you might stop hanging out with certain individuals and you'll notice a shift in your social world as well.
We will be taking our first commercial break. You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Xander Kegg and his guest, Dr. Kim McCoy, who is discussing his compassionate body-based approach to cutting down on alcohol, presented in his new book, Booze to Balance, a chill 30-day liver healing program. Let's take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back from our first commercial break. You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Xander Kegg and his guest, Dr. Kim McCoy. Let's pick up where we left off.
Which might be a little challenging for people initially because their friends might not, I was using air quotes when I said that, might not want to be around them anymore because they're no fun anymore.
Some people run into that pushback for sure. And then I noticed lately a lot of people are running into this thing. It's not a problem. It ends up being, kind of a nice thing where they notice that as they can give themselves permission to be social without having to get drunk or drink alcohol, some of their friends are like, do we not have to drink? And then it becomes safe and easy for them to also not drink. And operating under this assumption that you're supposed to or you have to, but less and less people really, really want to once they look at it. And I feel like culturally things are shifting. And I noticed that in my own world, I used to host these get-togethers in connection with my temple in Sacramento. And when I arrived, first came into that community, those gatherings were very centric, I think. It was just expected that there would be a lot of wine at those things. And I'm not really a drinker. And at some point, I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Does it always have to be about the wine? And then someone was like, well, you're the host. You can do whatever you want. And I'm like, well, what would happen if I just didn't have any wine? So I just did this little experiment. I'm going to have really nice, flavorful beverages, I'm going to throw a little mint, a little turmeric, make it good, something interesting to your palate, but not just bottles of wine. And it was fine. And nobody said anything. Everyone had a great time. And eventually some people would say to me, I really appreciate how you don't have alcohol because now I don't feel weird that I don't drink or Oh, I really enjoy these because I know I can always get like a healthy beverage. I feel good after. I don't feel run down. So it's not even anyone loved the wine. It was just this cultural assumption that was built in.
Yeah, a social thing. I live in Orlando, Florida, and there's at least one, maybe two bars, but they only serve non-alcoholic beverages.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing all kinds of things like fresh juices and they're muddling fruit and and mint leaves and ginger. So everything is freshly made and then soda water and whatever. And they're very popular places. It's a cool idea. I like that. Now, we've been talking a lot about the liver because, you know, the subtitle is 30-Day Liver Detox Challenge. But you did mention when you were first starting to talk about this, the gallbladder. So how does the gallbladder fit into this?
Yeah, the liver and the gallbladder are connected, of course. And in Chinese medicine, and there's a lot of overlap with what they do and what I do, the gallbladder is just like this little tiny organ. It's this little pouch that in Western medicine, we're like, well, you don't even need it. The gallbladder meridian is actually the longest meridian in the whole body. So it covers a lot of ground. And so that's why taking care of the things connected to the gallbladder make a difference.
And just for individuals who aren't familiar with acupuncture or acupressure, Chinese medicine, can you just describe what is a meridian?
Yeah. So a meridian is, I guess you can think of it as an electrical circuit. It's like it's an energy pathway, but you would imagine an electrical circuit that feeds around the body. So for example, like that gallbladder meridian, that energy circuit, it passes through the knees. So a lot of knee problems, like in acupuncture, if they address the gallbladder meridian, the knee will get it better. It goes up through the shoulder. It goes up through the jaw. So a lot of jaw stuff is really gallbladder stuff, or a lot of allergy stuff, or certain kind of emotional things. So when that circuit covers geographically on the body so much area, it can affect all of those things.
Fascinating. So the gallbladder, it's not just this little thing that we don't need. It is important.
Right.
I know what the gallbladder does. I might not know as much as you know, but a lot of people don't know what the gallbladder is, and they might not even know that they have a thing in their body called a gallbladder. So maybe you could tell us.
Because
they're like, wait, the bladder? It's like, no, the gallbladder. Right.
Yeah. So the liver creates bile. So bile is a substance that helps us break down fats and digest fats. And the gallbladder is a little pouch that stores the bile. So if you eat a fatty meal and all of a sudden you need a whole bunch of bile to digest that, that reserve is already in there in the gallbladder. So the body can just like squeeze it out, like how much ever you need, and help digest it. If you didn't have a gallbladder, it's too hard for the liver to all of a sudden make a whole bunch on demand if you eat something really fatty. So that's why people who've had their gallbladder removed, you know, have a really hard time. They can't eat those heavy fatty meals, or they have to supplement with bile salt supplements or something that'll help their body break it down.
The body is brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Unbelievable. Every once in a while, I'll say something like, well, there's a couple of design flaws because I'm not really sure why there's no protective layer on the duodenum and people end up getting ulcers there more easily. Yep. But for the most part, the body is brilliant, designed brilliantly.
Yes.
And I love that. So the liver's making the bile, the gallbladder is storing it, and then it's releasing it when we need it into the stomach.
Yep.
Or is it the intestines where it releases?
It goes into the small intestines where it gets absorbed. And then the large intestine is basically your water reclamation facility.
So you talked about how if you're having maybe some discomfort in your jaw or in your knees, that is that just one knee? Is the meridian on just one part of the body?
It's on both. It's on both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're having knee issues and jaw issues, it could be an issue with the gallbladder.
Oh,
what are some physical symptoms in other parts of the body that would be correlated? You talked about how if a person is experiencing knee pain and jaw pain, that those are connected through the meridian to the gallbladder. What are some physical symptoms that people could be having that would be on the meridian where the liver is?
There's some overlap for sure, but liver is going to be more shoulder, especially the right shoulder is a big one, that right shoulder blade. A lot of times people are, right between my shoulder blades. That's a big one. And headaches, liver is very much like a headache, base of the skull, muscle knots. Yep.
So interesting. I studied some of this, or learned about this, I should say, when I was in my massage program. I did a 500-hour certificate. And so they did talk about how these things are interrelated or connected when I was learning about acupressure, right? Which is more of a touch version rather than the needles. Yes. But they use the meridians. And I don't remember, are the meridians following along with what we would consider our nervous system? Are they using those same lines?
It's not those lines. And there is one study that I saw that was really interesting, because on the one hand, it's, well, do these things even exist? Because they're not the nerves. What the hell are they? So there was this interesting study out of France where they took this radioactive dye and they injected it just under the skin at points where meridians were supposed to exist. And so they imaged the skin at different times to watch where is it moving? And what they saw was that it moved along the direction of the meridians. So they were able to establish, okay, there's something there and it's moving there. But they couldn't conclude still what is moving it, because the pace of motion didn't match the lymph system or the heart, the blood. It didn't match any of those things, but there was clear movement along the channel. So it's exciting to me that there's always something to learn. Every generation is, we know everything now, but no, we don't. And it's just exciting that there's just learning is always happening.
Absolutely. I find it really fascinating. I mean, the amount of information we have about how our brain works is minuscule.
Yeah.
Right. And I would imagine it, because it's limited to how much information we can know, the ability to generate the knowledge to know, right? Because that takes the brain, right? So it's so fascinating to me. So you're a chiropractor, you're aware of Chinese medicine. Or do you practice Chinese medicine, or is it just that it's something that you have some knowledge of and it overlaps a little bit with what you're doing?
Well, my specialty under the chiropractic umbrella is I'm what's called a neuroemotional technique practitioner. So NET, or neuroemotional technique, is like a specialty where I'm focusing on things that are really stress related at their root. And the NET approach incorporates a lot of overlap from Chinese medicine. So that's the specific part of my practice where the Chinese medicine comes in. And again, becoming an NET specialist was, I started in the very, very beginning, was like, oh, this should be easy. You know, there's like 24 bones and you learn them and you move them and people feel better. And then once you get into practice, you're like, oh, this is complicated. There's many reasons why somebody goes out of balance. And yeah, and it can be their diet. It can be their stress. It can be an injury. So I really gravitated towards helping people whose musculoskeletal manifestations were really coming from this stress, trauma, because that, I think that's the approach that helped me the most with my chronic issues. I used to get headaches all the time and neck pain and all that stuff. So that approach helped me the most. So then I wanted to help other people with that, especially since it's not as well known and not as prevalent as this straight up moving bones approach.
That's right. I was in a car accident. Gosh, when was it? Oh boy. Maybe the mid 1990s. I was in a car accident and the car insurance company wanted to send me to a chiropractor. And I called up my dad and I said, Dad, they want to send me to a chiropractor. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to look up an NET chiropractor where I was living, because my father, for 27 years until he retired in his late 70s, he was a sports massage therapist. Wow. And so he had studied a lot of physical therapy and other kinds of chiropractic techniques to supplement the massage therapy techniques. And so he knew about NET. And so thankfully that's where I went, because I was very worried about getting my bones cracked, because I was paralyzed as a kid. I had encephalitis and I've always been very leery of my back being cracked. And it was wonderful. I loved it. For the listener, this is our second interview with Kim. You can go back to the first interview where we talk a lot more about the NET form of chiropractic care. And so it's fascinating. That's what people don't really understand, is there's so many specialties within different occupations. And so if somebody says, oh, you should go to a chiropractor, it helps to know which one you're walking through the door of.
Right.
They're not all the same. You wouldn't just go to any lawyer if you are having a dispute in the workplace. You want to go to an employment law specialist. You wouldn't want to go to a family law. But it's, it's the same, right, with chiropractic. You want to know the types. I'm a social worker, but I don't work in every environment with every population, right? We specialize in things.
Exactly.
I love that. So in this 30-day liver detox challenge, you're focused on the liver in the subtitle, but it sounds like the gallbladder. What else? It can't just be the liver and gallbladder. What other ways is this detoxing?
We're taking that holistic approach. So some of it is clearly aiming at that biochemical level, but I do bring in that emotional part too, because certain emotional patterns, chronic anger, have a heavy toxic effect on the body. We talk about it metaphorically, but it manifests for real. So some of the things in the book are talking about cultivating things like gratitude or mindfulness. And mindfulness is just, of course, being present and observing, noticing without judging. So liver, those emotions are the anger, resentment, frustration. But the theme of the liver is justice and what's right. And so when people are so hung up on like, this is not right, what's happening, it aggravates that circuit. So the more you can cultivate groundedness or equanimity or just being able to, okay, this is what's happening, okay, then that can help the body have ease and relax and help the energy and everything flow smoother through those circuits.
Sometimes I hear people when they'll challenge me because I'm not appropriately responding to whatever is happening in our fate, in our nation, in our world. I'm not outraged. I'm not feeling under attack. I'm not feeling like I need to escape to someplace else or just escape through substances or or marching down the street, which I think is a form of escape in some ways. Yeah. And so do you get any similar pushback from people?
A little bit. I mean, I'm like you. Sometimes people will check in and be like, are you okay? And are you freaked out? And I'll be like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like the happiest trans person on the block right now. I don't know. So I don't think I get too much pushback. It's not too much people saying, well, isn't that denying reality or whatever? Because again, we're just presenting it in a just separate in its own context of let's do this. Here's a mindfulness exercise to try. And it can be about anything, but here's what we're going to do. So, and then when if people are just present and a good sport and just do the thing, it's always like they come out the other end of it and have that realization like, oh, I feel better, but nothing changed out there. So just gently bringing people to that point of working on the inside, starting with themselves and just do this and do this and then have the experience that it seems different out there, even though nothing changed out there. And then, that can help you just come from a more grounded place. Yeah, there are challenging things out there. I feel like a lot of people maybe don't understand that trans people are tough and have been through worse and much worse over. I don't know who they think we are, but
With you on that. Well, when I meet trans people who are really angry and flipping out, it's because they're new to the trans world, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they don't know that we had to navigate access to our healthcare before insurance covered it and before it was readily available through our telephones.
Yes, exactly. And
here in Orlando, we have at least half a dozen, if not a couple more clinics that have what they would call a gender affirming component to the clinic. Nobody's without care. Right.
Yeah.
Even Tampa has the same thing. Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville. All people have to do is maybe drive an extra hour or two and they have it versus people who used to have to go out of state.
You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Sander Kagg and his guest, Dr. Kim McCoy. This will be our second commercial break. We hope that you are enjoying the discussion so far. I'm sorry to miss it. It would have been wonderful to have been able to sit and participate in this discussion. Please check out our website, theumbrellahour.com. Any of you who would like to appear on our show, as you know, this show is about the LGBT plus community, and we are health focused, which covers a gamut of matters, anything related to health. check out theumbrellahour.com. You can complete a form and Xander Keg will follow up with you. Let's take our commercial break. As always, we are grateful to our sponsors and therefore very happy to play their commercials. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back from our second commercial break. You are listening to The Umbrella Hour with Xander Keg and his guest, Dr. Kim McCoy. Let's pick up where we left off.
Oh, my God, yes.
People who had to do it through underground markets. So, yeah. I mean, I'm with you in that way. This idea of, well, aren't I just denying reality or aren't you just denying reality, as somebody might accuse me of or you of? And I say, on the contrary, I practice radical acceptance. It is what it is. There's only so much I can do about it externally, but I have 100% control over how I deal with it internally. Yes. And then that changes the way it impacts me.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And it's like when you talk about chronic stress and how it can harm you, the physiological response to stress is muscle tension, which constricts blood vessels, which then constricts blood and oxygen to parts of your body, including your brain. It also creates that chronic muscles tension can create all kinds of problems with pain, right? And headaches. It also releases cortisol, and cortisol, then you gain weight. It's not good. It disrupts your sleep, maybe not to the point of insomnia, but definitely disrupts your sleep. And then disrupting your sleep, then that's just dysregulating everything. So there are people out there who are like, I'm a true believer. I really care. You're a terrible person because you don't care like I do. And if they just got a good night's sleep on a regular basis and detox their liver, they'd be like, huh. So I still don't like what's happening and I'm going to work on that, but I don't feel like crud anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Physically, exactly. Socially, mentally, none of those ways.
Right.
Physically, right? Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's that saying that the best revenge is living well.
Living well. Yeah.
So let's do that, people. Yeah. Let's live well.
Yes, 100%.
I like it. That's our resolution, right? If you're trans, and the best revenge is to live well. And so the way to live well is to take care of yourself, your mind, your body, your relationships, everything.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I did a well-being workshop series for a trans man organization or trans men's organization. I don't know how you would say that grammatically correct. It wasn't 6 weeks. I did 2 a month. So it was about 3 months worth. And it was very well attended. It was well received. I had a lot of fun. And I was basically teaching these skills. Here's how you can regulate your emotions. Here's how you can tolerate distress. I don't intentionally mean to do this, but my hope is in some ways that it keeps people off the couch, meaning with a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah.
It keeps people out of the office, right? So they don't develop the mental or the physical challenges that drive them to these providers, like a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you're there and you do what you do. But if we could get underneath it, be more preventative, exactly. Which is what I see your book, right? Booze to Balance, 30-Day Liver Detox Challenge. This is something you can use with your patients, but I can see this can be a truly preventative tool for people.
Yeah. Yeah. If people just knew how all these little things that they do have control over, they can make a huge difference. And yeah, like you said, like, man, if you get a good night's sleep, if you feel good, then you can show up to the fight with a bit more energy too, if that's what you want to do, versus being depleted and exhausted and sick and it's not good.
We only have so much energy, right? And when we don't get a good enough night sleep on a regular basis, we're depleting those resources, right? With sleep debt, which you can never repay, which is something that once I learned that, okay, sleep is my number one focus. We have to give it the time and the space to do that. And that's primarily through sleep and diet, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, like if you have a pet, you take really good care of your pet. You study what kind of food does this animal need, but they can't wrap their head around that no, we're animals too. There is such a thing as a better diet, sleep cycle, stress levels, personal space. There's optimal conditions for this kind of animal too, you know?
I ask people, have you ever had a pet or ever worked on a farm? They say yes. Did you notice that when they were injured or they were ill, that what they did was they laid down? And they didn't move much and they didn't eat a lot of food and they just laid still. And then all of a sudden they started to get more and more active. That's what we need to do. We need to go, I'm not feeling well. I'm injured. I need to relax. I need to take a break. I need to do whatever I need to do so that I'm not putting pressure on an injured limb, that I'm not getting enough sleep because I'm in too much pain. Just lay down like the dog or the horse. Just chill out. But in this world, I would imagine that's hard for a lot of people because they're like, oh, I can't miss work. And some people can't miss work. I mean, those are the realities of things. Or I can't miss out on this cool thing that's happening.
Right.
Or I'm not lazy. Whatever things they have going on.
Yeah.
I like that we both use animals. I love that. Well, Kim, I've really enjoyed talking to you again about your newest book that is about to come out. Right now is recording, but those of you listening, it will already be available and you'll be able to get it. It is called Booze to Balance 30-Day Liver Detox Challenge. I'm happy for you and I'm looking forward to hearing from you about what comes next. Maybe you're going to do classes or maybe there's another book. You have another book in your brain already that you're looking forward to working
on? There's always another book, actually halfway done with the book, which was unexpected. It's a book about grief, specifically about grieving when somebody transitions. You know how people are like, I feel like somebody died. It's a book about that. So it's for both the person who transitioned, you know, grieving their old self, if they want to look at that, but also really for the people in their lives who have that feeling, like, I feel like someone died. Because I feel like those people don't have a lot of resources to deal with that. This book just came together. So the future is unknown and exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
For coming on the show. And thank you for listening. And please do share this episode and all of our episodes with all your friends and your fans and your followers on all your social media platforms. We really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much.
We have come to the end of the Umbrella Hour. You've been listening to Xander Keg and his guest, Dr. Kim McCoy. We hope that you enjoyed this hour. Thank you for listening. Until next time.